Episode 185. Welcome back to Steel and Naz, presented by HedgeBetter. Today is Wednesday, April 2nd. We're sponsored by the law offices of Patrick J. Foley, located at 265 Willard Street, Quincy, Massachusetts. If you're looking for proper legal representation and closing down your first-time home buyers, look no other than Patrick J. Foley. Got Steel in the building tonight. Magic Mike, Anton. Who knows?
Two sightings. I saw two over the weekend, though.
Oh, wow. You saw both of them?
Magic. Not Anton.
Okay.
I saw Magic and Showtime, though, out in the wild.
Oh, there we go. Okay. Shout out Showtime.
They are still out there. Stay tuned.
Stay tuned is right. Well, a lot to get to tonight. We're going bi-weekly now, so stay with us. Bear with us, I should say. Pat signed Stephon Diggs. That's got to be the lead. Right away, just getting a number one receiver, that's big. We'll get down to brass tacks about the NFL draft. It's a couple weeks away. There's a lot of murmurs about they're going to be able to get a guy at four who they want, or, are we going to be disappointed with the pick, or are they going to trade down? A lot of the possibilities there. Celtics would be the lead any other week, but we got Stephon Diggs here. 6-0 on their road trip for the first time in franchise history. You got to understand, it's the possibly the best outside of the Yankees. I'll give you your flowers. The best franchise in sports. And they did something for the first time in that franchise history. 6-0 on their road trip, concluding with Memphis the other day, who they took a part in the fourth quarter. Baseball minute, a lot to get to. A lot of signings this past week with the Boston Red Sox. Although 1-4, although Rafi Devers 0-20, just got his first hit. Just breaking news. Give you on that.
Sick.
Steel will give you his other side in the AL East. I haven't watched a single second of the Yankees.
You've seen the highlights, though.
I've seen the highlights. and we will get to how we feel about these torpedo bats, because that seems to be the talk of the town. Now that we talked about this before the show, now that we're 2 weeks into the NCAA tournament, we're both now college basketball brainiacs, so essentially we're going to give you our picks for the Final Four.
Locks.
And they're all going to be right.
Yeah.
Nailed a four-team over parlay last week.
See?
Dunked on it.
Locked in.
Well, one of them went to overtime. I was hoping for a buzzer beater to send it into overtime, and I need the overtime to hit the over. So, I was hoping for the tie game, and I got it.
March Madness, baby.
That's, where magic happens.
Yeah, it is. It is.
And then we're going to minimally talk about the Bruins, more of Washington coming in last night. Ovechkin now four goals away from breaking the great one's all-time goals record. That's something,
Absolutely. Fucking huge.
Anything else?
Probably never going to see anything like it.
Yeah.
For a while, anyway.
I know, for sure. TV shows, maybe we'll mix something in. Maybe we'll call Magic Mike, see what he's up to. But let's lead it off right away. Stephon Diggs with the Patriots. Slam dunk signing. From the contract itself, I think it's 3 years, $69 million. But you know what the Patriots do in their contracts, and they do it like no one else. If he, goes into this year, totally stinks, and they want to outdo him, I think they only give him $21-22 million, and that's it.
Yeah, it was team friendly.
Yeah, it was definitely team friendly in terms of, you look at the overview of it. But if he does go for the 3 years, they're going to give him all that money, all those incentives. It just seems like they had to do something, and they got the right guy before it was literally too late. I think this was the last guy in the free agency where you were like, all right, this is respectable enough to where we clearly have a number one receiver.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And he's the best receiver the Patriots have had in years by just miles. That's not even, you can't have another take. It's not true.
Yeah.
By miles. And
since Edelman, right? If you really, that's a homegrown guy. That's a...
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
This guy's a star. This guy is a 1,000-yard, healthy-wise, even last year before he got hurt, 1,000-yard receiver, that's a minimum.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's one of the reasons Josh Allen is Josh Allen.
Yep.
100%.
And I don't really like to compare... I think Josh Allen and Drake May are completely different players.
Oh, definitely.
Where they are in their careers. Not that, but, their playing style, Josh Allen's so much bigger, could run through someone. Drake May is more of, I'm going to use my wheels to get more time to be able to find a receiver downfield. Well, don't get me wrong, Josh Allen does that too, but he'll also run over a linebacker.
Yeah, he's fucking massive.
Yeah, I would compare him more. I think Justin Herbert's a better, comparison in terms of throwing the ball. We'll see. Hopefully Drake May performs better than him, because although Justin Herbert put up stats, the win-loss column doesn't really look good for him.
No.
Back on the Patriots-wise, Mike Vrabel doing pretty well. I think the day after Stephon Diggs, they said agreed to terms. He just like put out a picture on his Instagram of like a throwback, like Mike Vrabel on the Pats,
nice.
Like one of those old. So it's clearly he's like a draw for these free agents to come in. Like clearly making him the head coach of the New England Patriots was the right move.
Oh, absolutely. 100%.
And that's without even playing a damn game yet.
Oh yeah. And I mean, Diggs himself, Diggs is not someone that he's not going to pick a team that like has nothing, no future.
No,
Stephon Diggs.
He played for Minnesota. They had good records, played for the Bills, got the AFC title game. Even last year, the Texans, pretty good team.
Yeah, solid team.
He knows all about winning. Like, yeah. He's a guy who hasn't lost in this league yet. It's getting by me who he played for in college, but I'm sure he played for a college that wasn't.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I'm good when it comes to that. Where did this guy go to college? I feel like I'm, let's see, he went to, Maryland. Okay, so that's not a big time, you know, college football school. Shout out Zoe, though. That's why Zoe.
Terps, baby. Terps. Yeah.
At the end of the day, though, now you have this guy, and I don't think he's going to, like, he'll lead by example with his skill set, not with, like, the way he talks. And, you know, who's going to be the number one if he wasn't the number one? I mean, you go down the list. Kayshon Boutte, no. Demario Douglas, he's the slot. Kendrick Bourne. These are all, like, three, you know, wide receiver threes who you would like on your team,
yeah.
But not to like get the all the catches and stuff. It's nice that we still have the double tight end set like the re-signing of Austin Hooper, but if that's your highlight, then come on now, what are we doing?
That's where it takes, you know, he opens it up because the best corner isn't on one of those fucking guys anymore.
Agreed.
Like there was just like a Pro Bowl level corner on like every team, and that guy is just covering a three or four receiver. So that guy's just out of the game.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't even fucking matter.
I still think they could make a run at one of these other veteran receivers who I think would be better than what's on your roster right now. Even like a Tyler Lockett, who's a guy in the slot who doesn't like to be hit. I think he's come up that, but he finds a way to get open.
Yeah.
Amari Cooper might be out of your price range now that you kind of gave the money to Stephon Diggs. But another guy I'm looking at, even Deontay Johnson, who you could probably get a team-friendly deal. I think he's just about I get he's been on a bunch of teams, but he's better than just about anyone on the roster.
Oh, yeah. He'd be too.
looking for a prove it guy. That's your guy right there. I can't think of anyone else off the top of my head who is we were going over a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, I completely agree with still making another move because there is no other trustworthy fucking receiver in that lot,
yeah.
In that room.
Well, and then you go back on it, and what did Drake May do bad last year? He turned over the football a lot. And how is that going to change? It's going to change in terms of coaching. I think, you know, not giving him too many opportunities to wear, you know, 50-50 balls outside of throwing to Stephon Diggs, you know, that shouldn't be an option.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And hopefully you get better line play in front of him so he's not just scrambling around fucking like crazy.
Yeah.
He needs some help with that too.
Yeah. On that, the NFL draft, which is, I think, 2 weeks away, have the fourth pick. Thanks, Joe Milton. Shout out Joe Milton. He had, you know, he got his one game. He had to play it well. And now he's worth probably a third-round pick at this point. But you got the fourth pick in the draft. You know, the past couple days, past week, the Shedeur Sanders stock has just been going down, down, down. And the Giants signed not one, but two veteran quarterbacks, Jameis Winston. Pretty much the money he got is a backup deal. I mean, they signed Russell Wilson to a $120+ million deal. So you think that's going to be their starter? So, I mean, Tankathon here, who I always go to Tankathon until they prove me wrong. But right now they still have Travis Hunter going number four. I just flat out don't agree with that at all.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, the Giants, I mean, you could see it because they do have those deals, but neither of those deals is the future of the New York Giants.
Yeah.
So it's definitely still on the board.
And, like, who knows who trades up, who trades down? Like, that's banana land to me.
Course,
like,
yeah.
Why speculate that as it is? Tennessee, I think that they shouldn't look at anyone else besides Cam Ward. Cam Ward's going number one.
That's locked
and,
in.
And I think the draft starts at two. And, you know, the Browns are a team that are definitely looking for a quarterback. Deshaun Watson has been, you know, completely upsetting to them. Abdul Carter, I think he's the best overall prospect in the draft. It just depends, you know, what are your needs. But for Carter or Hunter to get the four, obviously two quarterbacks would have to go in the top three. And at this point, I'm just not seeing it. I'm not seeing that Sanders is going to go to the Browns or the Giants. I would be very surprised at this point. But a lot of these, you know, analysts, a lot of these people with insider information are saying that the Browns may even take a look at him now. So I really don't know what to believe.
Yeah. I mean, if I were the Browns, I would not take Shadur Sanders. No. He's not a quarterback. He could definitely be good, but he like, you need more, and you take the best player on there, which would be Abdul Carter.
You go back to last year's draft, and don't get me wrong, I think they'll have pretty good careers, especially Jaden Daniels. But Jaden Daniels had Terry McLaurin. He had a good offensive line. He had, you know, Austin Eckler, who's, you know, clearly a veteran back. And then you had Bo Nix, who had Sean Payton, and then ended up getting a pretty good offensive line. Cortland Sutton was good out receiver there. So those are two guys where if you put people around them, things are going to happen. Like, you know, I mean, if you put Caleb Williams or, you know, even Drake May, a team of that offense, how do they do? Do they do just as good as them? Do they do worse? Those are all questions we'll never find out.
Yeah.
But my point is, a guy like Sanders seems like a guy who could be in that company. So going to the Browns, going to the Giants, sounds like a terrible idea.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. No, and if you were the Browns too, like, how many times have you, like, I mean, I think their fucking GM or whatever just came out and was like, yeah, well, yeah, Deshaun was a swing and a miss. And it was like, yeah, no shit. How many times you do that? Like, they should try to rebuild it the other way.
Yeah.
Like, go Abdul Carter and Miles Garrett and just try to fucking ground and pummel
pound
everybody.
Yeah, ground and pound.
You have whiffed on a quarterback, like that jersey we see every year. If you have whiffed on a quarterback for like 20 years.
Yeah, you're not.
And you know what? You nailed it on Miles Garrett. Like, go on the defensive guy. Just be a defensive stud team.
That problem will resolve its way in like the craziest way where it'll just fall in their lap. If you try to force it at this point, it's not going to work.
No, yeah,
it's
exactly.
It's not going to work. My question is, if Hunter and Carter go, you know, in the top three, who will the Patriots take at four? And it all leads to me, this mock draft has him going 10th, which is wild to me. But, you know, you have to, I think at that point, you have to look at your best need. And that's probably Will Campbell at offensive tackle for LSU. If they could trade down, I would love for them to trade down. But I just don't think a team like that is going to give up too much just to go up to fourth, where, you know, from fourth to, I call it 11. It's pretty much, you know, fair play.
Yeah.
And unless you want someone specifically at a position.
If a team wanted Shadur, that's basically all that could happen.
Yeah, and I'm not one to take a running back in the top five picks, but if you're going to go, like, best available, don't matter the position, Patriots would probably take Ashton Jeanty at four, which I think is what would be wild.
Which sucks, yeah. I would hate that.
I would hate that as well. But my point is, so they're not going to be thinking, all right, best player available. If it's not Travis Hunter, we're going to go with the biggest need, which is probably Will Campbell, or they even have Armand Mumbo up here from Missouri at number 7. So that's another guy in play. I just, with the whole arm thing, you really don't know.
Don't give a shit about that.
But it is interesting to see how, I think he's 33 and he measured 32 and 5/8 at the draft. In any offensive tackle that's ever been drafted in the top 15 picks has like never had longer than a 5-year career, like with under 33. Crazy.
Till Will Campbell on the
Patriots. Till Will Campbell.
if the Patriots select him.
If they do land Will Campbell at 4, I would be happy with it at that point. That pick, I wouldn't hate it. They tried to do it. Like they did this whole offseason. They paid the players. They, you know, spent a lot of money. They're going after their top priority, which is offensive line, or, you know, if Hunter falls there, it would be a receiver, a cornerback.
Yeah.
Best athlete in the draft.
No, they've done a great job because you needed everything, and they've touched a lot of everything. Yeah. Like, they've spread it out. They haven't stocked on, like, one thing.
I'm still watching this tape at Arizona, Tet McMillan, and I'm sold, too. If they took him, I wouldn't be completely upset. At four, people are like, I don't know, but I'm telling you right now, if Carter and Hunter are both taken by pick number 4. Picks 4 through, call it 10 or 11, practically the same thing. Mm-hmm. And your needs are offensive line and receiver.
Yeah, like same overalls.
Yeah, so choose wisely. You go down the draft, and that's what I'm saying. Going into the second round, I think there'll still be good offensive linemen available in the second round. They have the Pats here taking Donovan Jackson with pick 38, interior offensive lineman from Ohio State, 6'3", 315. I mean, sounds like a offensive lineman right there. See if that pans out. And then I also thought about this. I was just like, what would the Giants do if the Patriots were like, okay, we're going to give you our number four pick. And then remember they got that third round pick. I think it's like 30 something. Either way, they got it from the Atlanta for the Judon last year. I don't think this says it right.
No, it doesn't have it. I'm not sure off the top of my head.
But they traded third round pick for Judon. So why not just get rid of that pick? Would they take that knowing that you're going to take Hunter or Carter at three? That it all depends on the Giants' mindset, but that's a big question there. Like, if you swapped three and four picks and you let go of that extra third round pick that you have, is that worth it for the Patriots? I think, yeah, it's just a whole other question for the Giants.
Yeah, because the Giants could be locked in to Shador, like, honestly. Like,
or locked in the Hunter.
Yeah.
That's my point of trying to get one of those two. But like I said, I think it's best available at four if Hunter doesn't get picked. I think you have to go best available offensive lineman or best available receiver, what they think is the best. And that, I think right now, at least Will Campbell, we'll see how, you know, that adds up.
Yeah. I like them both.
Yeah. I mean, that's as much, we can keep beating down the NFL draft all day, but at the end of the day, Patriots went 4-13 last year and we led with that. So we'll see if things get better. People are already talking 10, 11 wins in, I guess we won March, but if you win March, does that really, it doesn't really matter, right?
Yeah, no.
Yeah, no. Speaking of winning March, the Boston Celtics surely did. Going on a West Road trip, beating the Grizzlies, the Spurs, the Suns, the Kings, the Trailblazers. Wow, look at that. And the Jazz. They're currently on a 10-game win streak. Are they winning? They're losing right now to Miami, but still looking pretty damn good. Jason Tatum, they did a straw poll today. If the season ended today, he would be the fourth candidate for MVP behind SGA, who's clearly going to win it, Jokic and Giannis Antetokounmpo. I think he should be three. I think if there was an Eastern Conference and a Western Conference MVP, like there kind of is in baseball, I think he would win it. I think he's done things to teams this year that, you know, he's tripped up some teams, and I think this is going to be his time to shine in the playoffs. Last year, Jaylen Brown won all the MVPs. I think this year, Jason Tatum is coming in for vengeance. I mean, I think you can say what you want. Oh, he's hungry from the team. I think that's already over. I think
they're locked in. Yeah, on
Banner 19 is in order.
Yeah.
They're going for it. I keep watching Celtic City every week. I don't know if you've seen that on HBO Max.
I have not seen this week's, but I have watched it. It's incredible.
Was terrific. It was the 86 Celtics.
Nice. Watch that right when I go home.
Probably best team ever. Larry Bird just like talking that shit, and like Cedric Maxwell.
That part was great when he was like, oh god, this motherfucker, when he the week episode of that, he was like, yo, like, man did not miss a shot.
No.
he was like I fucking hated him.
They had Bill, RIP, they had Bill Walton come in, just like turn the whole culture from 80, because they lost to the Lakers in 85. 86, they just destroyed teams. I think they lost one game at home.
At least with this team too, I mean, it's the entire, like, they're just on fire.
Yeah.
I mean, it's everyone. I mean, KP's gone off in games. Horford had almost 30 the other night. Pritchard's been on fire. Derek White is fucking most threes ever made in a season by a Celtic.
And it's not over. Tatum's there. Pritchard's there.
They're like behind each
other. Yeah, no, like if they sit out, not, they're going to lose the record. But my point is, you're going to have to make this team shoot 15 to 20% from the three-point line in a playoff series to beat them. And that's not going to happen. All these guys can shoot. They're playing. At first, I was like, all right, Joe Mazzulla balls, you know, three-point game, whatever. But they're making their shots. They're not even like four shots either. They're passing the ball around. There's a lot of camaraderie. These guys have been playing with each other for a while. They're starting to get healthy at the right time. Thank God Jason Tatum was good after his ankle injury
last week.
That was very scary. I was like, sit him to the playoffs. And you know what? I give him a lot of praise too, because a lot of these stars, you know, year in, year out, this load management, they'll sit out no reason. Jason Tatum wants to play every single game that he can.
Yeah. Oh, so yeah. Bally.
He was back. I think he sat a game and then he was back the game after. Has been putting on the show all season. Clearly, the, you know, without saying the team's best player, but Pritchard's going to be the sixth man of the year. Cornette's come in, played great minutes. Hauser was a walking 3-point bucket the other night when I saw the Memphis game.
Shireman.
Bailey Shireman.
Yeah, fucking A.
he hit one of those three. I forget the name of it, but he hit a corner three where he didn't put his hands down. It was just like he caught it right here and just went boom. Dude, that guy's going to be crisp. He's a big dude.
Yeah, it was one of those games. Like, it was like the fourth quarter. They just like Brown and Tatum were out in the fucking fourth quarter. It was literally just Peyton Pritchard and Shireman just like bagging threes and just killing the team. It was incredible.
Yeah, think of where Peyton Pritchard was his rookie season compared to Bailey Shireman. Like, I think Shireman's only going to get better. Don't get me wrong. I'm probably the number one fan of the Peyton Pritchard fan club. But, I mean, Bailey Shireman has the height on him. You know, they play similar positions. It just seems like another guy who's going to be getting close to getting in that rotation come postseason play.
Definitely some minutes.
Yeah.
Nothing like grand, obviously, but some minutes, definitely. Yeah,
they were looking for that guy. They brought in Torrey Craig, who has been okay, but I think Bailey Shireman's going to get his minutes come postseason play. We'll see how it plays out. I mean,
but he plays like Pritchard in a way too. It's, you know, like, I mean, like, it's intense.
Yeah.
When they're running around and fucking playing defense.
When they're all healthy, the only team that can beat the Celtics, I clearly think, is themselves. I don't think there's another team. Definitely in the Eastern Conference. I feel like in the Western Conference, you can get beat up there. And, you know, by the end, who knows? Eastern Conference, it should just come down to them and Cleveland. Cleveland's had a hell of a year. I was down on them all year of being like, yeah, they're kind of pretenders. But Donovan Mitchell's no joke. He ruins the Celtics every time he plays them. They seem to have a core that, you know, plays with a lot of camaraderie like the Celtics do too. But, you know, we'll see how it goes. And, you know, I think there's probably like 10 games to play, if that. Let's see, 56 and 19. So that's 7 games to play. They're sitting 4 games back. They've actually crept up on this. I don't know if they'll get there, but 2 seeds, yeah, fine with me.
That's fine.
Season ended today. They'd probably be playing the Magic or the Hawks. I'm fine with either one of those. Milwaukee lost Damian Lillard for the season. They have gone back to the 6th seed. So if they were to if all said and end today, they would play the Knicks. If they upset the Knicks in the first round, I think they would get the Boston Celtics. I think that's how it works. So, you know, Giannis is there.
Much better, but I still don't like playing Giannis.
Yeah, the Knicks could flip a switch. The Pacers showed a lot last year in the postseason. Yep. We'll see about this year. And Detroit's been a big surprise team. Who knows? But, you know, like I said again, Kristaps Porzingis on the floor spreads his team out big time. He's probably played his best basketball in the NBA since he's come back off his injury. I think there's no doubt.
Yeah, he's looked amazing. He's looked amazing. And yeah, story of the year, other than Celtics, Pistons, by Miles.
By Miles.
Respect.
Cade Cunningham. I mean, that team was a laughing stock. I think Jaylen Brown like wasn't even trying to make fun of him, but he was just like, yeah, if we were playing a team like the Pistons.
Oh, yeah, like, dude. I think last year, or it was like the year before, they had like 2 20-game losing streaks. Yeah. Like, that's hard.
That's really tough. Well, what do they win? 1 in between? Lose like
41? Yeah, 40, literally. 41? Yeah, you know what I mean? Do you see Jokic last night?
No, what do you have? He had 20.
He had like 60, 10, and 10.
I saw Steph had 50-something.
Yeah, like they interviewed Anthony Edwards after. And he was like, that was the greatest performance I've ever seen with me on a basketball. He was like, that is the best player I've ever seen in my life. Like, he was literally like, that was crazy.
He is quick. He's not quickly. He's one of the best players.
And Anthony Edwards is huge. Like I think he threw in too. I mean, like, he like cut himself off for a second. He was like, besides me. Like, because he's like one of those guys. But like, he was like, dude, that, like, Jokic, bruh, like, that was fucking nuts.
No, when you look back at the 2020s, I think, in no doubt, that Jokic is going to be the number one. Like,
oh, yeah.
Like, when they do those teams, like, he'll be the first team guy. I mean, what is he, 2-3 MVPs now? Led Serbia to a bronze medal, which isn't, like, it's good, big for Serbia, not big, you know.
That's a gold from here.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, yeah, that's.
I don't know if you saw that doc, but they were ripping beers, like, at, like.
Exactly, yeah,
I think the game was at 10 a.m. They won it, and they were ripping beers all day.
Yeah. like a medal is gold to Serbia in the Olympics. Yeah, like, you know what I mean? Especially in basketball.
Yeah, but he's a bad man. He's, Like, if you're going to talk about, you know, the best five players in the world, like, he's obviously up there. If not, he's number one.
I'd say it's hard to dispute.
Yeah, and then you look at all these guys coming down, like Steph, KD, like LeBron, all fantastic players still, but they're not in the top. I don't think they're in the top five anymore. I mean, I could debate that all day.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Baseball minute. Early on, we are five games into the season.
Yeah, give or take, depending on like if you had a day off or not.
So Red Sox front, I'll give you a Red Sox minute before we get going. So after losing four of the first five games, taking three of four, the Rangers did over them. They decided to put their nuts where they should be, and they gave Garrett Crochet a six-year, $170 million deal. Age 25, already had Tommy John surgery. Finally, Craig Breslow, the boys, bring out their checkbooks. They get it done. They lock down the ace for years to come. I think this was a dynamite move. You look at it all the time of, you know, 31, 32-year-olds, you pay this guy and you feel comfortable with it. You know why you feel comfortable with it? Because what they did before. Who knows what they're going to do ahead? You pay this guy early and often, and I'm seeing it right now. They're in the top of the ninth inning. He's thrown eight innings, has eight Ks, zero runs let up on four hits. That's what you call a gem, people. So you lock this guy down before he's even proven, and when he eventually proves it to you, and he's gonna, we're gonna laugh that contract to the bank because it should probably be $130 million more. On the other front,
what do we got? Two starts.
And they both the first one a little shaky, but he got through five innings. You know, they just didn't hit the first couple games. Rafael Devers 0-for-20. I was gonna come on here saying, oh, you know, fat fuck, what the fuck. He is a veteran hitter who's gonna go through tough times, all time tough times. 0-for-20, 15-16 Ks. He's now 2-for-4 tonight with a double and a single. Has to feel good for him, get the monkey off his back. He'll be fine. He's the best hitter on this team going forward.
Devers is going to be fine, but like that definitely like that was a slander deserving fucking start.
I agree. That was ugly.
It's way too early to go like crazy and have like flying hot takes. But dude, like 0-for-20 with like 17 Ks.
You know what I can't stand too is like, of course he's like a little heavy. So people are just going to be like, oh, the fat fuck. Like, this guy's been heavy for years.
Oh yeah.
Like, yeah, I mean, he didn't come into the season like out of shape. That's just like the way he looks. Like, I don't know. I don't believe that he came in, you know, out of shape in comparison to other seasons. I don't agree with that at all. Only case you can make is he was, you know, a little hurt or whatever. He didn't do a lot of spring training. So now he's getting his reps now. But I think his best baseball is going to be ahead of him at least this season. It has to be at this point. I mean, he's got two hits and it only got up to .087.
Yeah. No. Because I feel like with like the third base thing and like the Bregman thing that happened.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like he could kick back in when like the wins start to come and it's like consistency. Like to start the season starting like that and they were like, what, 1-4, something like that. Just a tough start, heads down. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's like, it's hard to bounce out of that right out of the gate.
And I'm truly a believer in like both ways of this term. Like, hitting is contagious. This team didn't hit the whole first weekend. I'm not saying that it was all, you know, on everyone else that Devers sucked. But, you know, you see this team, they're hitting tonight. Story has three hits, Devers has two hits. Christian Campbell, who's been lighting it up. Also, another shout out, he got, I think, 6-year deal, 5-year deal, $60 million. Another, like, I can't believe we just got away with that contract. Like, Seta and Rafaela turning into, you know, I think he signed a 9-year, $50 million contract. Like, these are contracts, like, from, like, the 1990s.
Yeah.
That, like, we're just getting away with.
9-year contract under, like, fucking, like, $1 billion is, like, hard to come by these days.
No, the fact that they got Christian Campbell, who's sitting at 22 years old, clearly going to be a star for this team, can play all positions. Reminds me, all right, let me bear down a little bit of like a poor man's Mookie Betts. We'll see if he can get better. Because he can play, he's playing second right now. He can play just about every position, you know, in the field. So, you know, seems a lot of positivity for the first of the big three to come in, followed by Roman Anthony and Marcelo Meyer when they come in. But so far, so good tonight. They're up 3-0 on the Orioles, recording on a Wednesday night here. Garrett Crochet, your ace, pitching big time when, you know, a team needs a win here in the early start. And looking forward to it. How are your Yankees doing?
Aaron Judge is a god. And everything was looking good. So I'll look good tonight. At the moment, and they lost to the Diamondbacks the game before, but tonight it's Zach Allen, and he's a beast.
So season over?
No, yeah. Yeah, you know, they're all going to turn into Devers. But no, it's been good. So far, so good. Pitching's been all right so far. Had a big start yesterday from Warren, and then they kind of blew it in the end. But everything's looking good. Rodon got hit early today, bounced back.
Goldschmidt in the leadoff spot?
First at bat was a digger.
Wow.
Results. Does it make sense to have like a 36-year-old Goldschmidt as your leadoff? No. But his first at bat, he went deep.
Austin Wells was the leadoff in the opener, and he also went deep.
It's like basically whoever they put, like, they should just keep putting someone there for the first time in their career.
Do they all have torpedo bats now besides Judge?
Most of them, yeah.
I do love how Judge came out being like, if you haven't seen me play before, like, I don't know. Torpedo bat.
That. Like, if you think that, and especially, and I mean, because there is definitely like a lot of the home runs. If you like actually watch the Yankees games, like they all, it's not the bat. No. All those pitches should have been hit to the fucking moon.
No, was that Saturday? A buddy texted me and said, "I saw Judge's like anytime home run, which was +150, which is extremely low, like for a home run." And he's like, should have done multiple. And he sends me the stat line. It was like 4-for-6, 3 homers, 8 ribbies. I was like, this guy is.
Oh, yeah. No, God. He's on a whole different planet.
No, like, we're going to look back like 20 years from now and be like, oh, my God, this guy's a living legend.
Yeah. Like they said, I don't know exactly how like war works, like the stat, but like he's already at like 1 in like 3 games.
Yeah.
And that means he wins a game before his replacement, and he did it in 3 games. I don't think anyone else is even like fucking above like 0.2.
Yeah, hopefully he doesn't choke in the World Series this year and
long
drop
way
the
to
ball,
go there.
You know? Yeah.
Long way to go there.
Torpedo bats, though. I have a take on it since everyone does. You know, these guys are throwing 95, 100 miles an hour. I'm a pro steroids guy. I don't know if people, you know, ban steroids from the game or whatever. Whatever advantage you can get as a hitter. The hardest thing to do in sports is hit a damn fastball. And the it seems to be legal. Torpedo just seems like the, you know, where the sweet spot is. Team seems to be bigger than other bats.
Yeah, they just altered the bat.
Yeah, whatever advantage a hitter can get in Major League Baseball, like, take it. We're not if this was a bat in a slow pitch softball league, okay. Then we're talking like, what are we doing here?
Yeah, yeah.
Like
single barrel.
Yeah, well, yeah, single barrel. Let's figure it out. It's a big, you know, beach ball that's coming at you. Swing the bat. A ball that's coming in 90 plus from the best hurlers in the world. Even that Milwaukee guy who got fucking his tits lit and was bitching about it after the game.
Oh, yeah, no.
I could kick rocks.
Yeah, and every team has access to them. And like Red Sox players used them in spring training.
Yeah, no, and Bregman took a
it's not like there is definitely an aspect of this story and it being a global phenomenon that because it's the Yankees.
Yeah.
That's like on it, like, you know, it's like the Patriots back in the day. Like if the Patriots did something, like if this little thing was over here and like the fucking Jets did it, no one gives a shit. No one could care less. Or the fucking Atlanta Falcons, but it's like the Patriots did it.
Yeah, then it'd be
What is going on over here?
Are the same.
Like the Yankees,
same
yeah. Like the Yankees bats look different.
But I did hear this today. So the guy who created the torpedo, I don't know his name. I'm not going to remember his name. But he worked for the Yankees last year, and he had Giancarlo using the bat or some form of it, and he ended up getting hurt from it. So the penalized was this guy was fired from the Yankees. What does he do? Get hired by the Marlins and introduces this torpedo bat to Major League Baseball. And now the team that fired him is getting showcased for using his bat.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's the American way.
Oh, yeah. No, and that guy, like, I saw something about him, too. It was, like, a wild fucking, like, that guy, like, before he got into baseball, he, like, MIT,
Yeah, it's going to be
Mark. And he fucking worked for NASA.
Yeah, it's going to be Mark Zuckerberg playing him in a movie in fucking 5 years. Or the guy who played Mark Zuckerberg, whatever the fuck his name is.
Yeah, Jesse Eisenberg.
Jesse Eisenberg. There we go. Stud. A weird name, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fitting. But I think it's fair. Yeah, I think it's fair play. I think torpedo bat.
Go get one.
Yeah.
Shut the fuck up and go get one if they're so fucking good. Like,
even I'm in the minority here, but Sammy Sosa with that cork bat, what the fuck was he doing with
him? Yeah, that was such a tough bat to break.
Yeah. Oh, man. What a scene that was.
It was.
Poor guy.
Try to play it off.
Yeah. He's like, I don't know.
It's like, dude, like I'm holding it.
Bruins. The last subject we're into tonight, not really going to, they're at the bottom of the Atlantic Division for the first time in years. What we were going to bring up is they played the number one team in the Eastern Conference last night, the Washington Capitals, and Alexander Ovechkin is now 4 goals away from breaking Wayne Gretzky's record. Growing up, even, you know, his debut was 05. So, you know, do that math. We're probably in our early teens. Him and Crosby were the two guys growing up, and you're like, okay, Ovechkin's the scorer, but Crosby just makes everyone better around him, total playmaker. Who would have thought that, you know, at the end of the day, I mean, I'm taking Ovechkin, no problem in that debate.
Yeah, and from 2005 on, if you liked Crosby over Ovechkin, I thought you were lame.
Yeah, no, I agree.
A fucking loser.
I agree. I mean, he's
a drunk Russian that just fucking barred down every game.
I'm not going to
love him.
I think he's going to, he's the like Yama Yager type. He's going to hang for at least a couple more years, in my opinion. I don't know if he's going to get 4 goals in whatever they have left. I think they have how many games left? Probably about 8. So he needs 4 goals in 8 games. That's very doable.
He might get that by the end of the weekend, dude.
So he's got 38 on the year. So it would be 42 he would have for the season at age 39. That is, again, that's another thing in its own word. Like, what are we doing here? Like, this guy's in the spot. Every team, you know, for 15 years now have scouting report. When this guy is in the circle, when this guy's in the slot on the power play, he's going to fucking let it rip with that half tape. Kind of what, like, Pastrnak has emulated off him.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
But, you know, what a stud.
He was
drinking beers the other day. They're sitting celebrating. I think they officially clinched, like, the division or something.
And that's why he's so close, like, now, because, like, people were predicting, like, years ago that he'd have to be, like, the Yager to, like, get there in, like, all these years and stuff. But, like, he's still, like, the fucking, like, sixth best goal scorer in all of hockey.
Yeah, they have.
Like, he hasn't let up. At all.
They had Riley Leonard, who played for BC in
this
NCAA tournament. He just made his debut with the Capitals the other day, and there was a line that Riley Leonard was born in 2005, some date, and like 2 months later it said that Alexander Ovechkin made his NHL debut like 2 months after he was born.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Like, so he's getting LeBron'd. Like, that's what they do. LeBron, Tom Brady, all these guys that have the longevity.
And one thing that's tough about Leonard is, like, you know how, like, much of a stud, like, one of, like, the college hockey players are? Like, I think they called him to the team, like, fucking, like, minutes after BC lost in the tournament.
He was like...
And, like, you know that kid's a beast when, like, it's, like...
I think he was, like, 23.
Like, but when it's, like, the Capitals are, like... Hey, buddy.
Yeah,
you lost. Like, can you get here like tomorrow?
Yeah. He's a big body. Seems like he can already.
Yeah, no, he's going to be good. And I
get
hate
it going, get
like,
some pull. Bruins working on, right? If season end today, I know there's a lottery, but they're the fifth worst team. I think that the best they can mathematically do is fourth if they overtake Seattle. I mean, they're doing a great job losing. Their season, call it on the line. Going on that West road trip, if they went like 6-0, they would have been like maybe in the playoff picture. Went 0-6, perfect. We know what the season's going to end up being. Joe Sacco probably isn't going to be back. They're going to be looking at veteran leadership, at least veteran coaching. At least there's like 5 or 6 guys who are going to be out there. Mike Sullivan, I think his contract is up with the Penguins.
Tortorella's out there now.
Yeah, Mike Sullivan's interesting though. Happens to be Charlie McAvoy's father-in-law, a lot of ties. I think he's originally from Marchfield, so another guy who has mass ties. So there's going to be a lot of guys gunning for that position. I feel like it's, you know, a talk of the town type of place. And then you look on the other side who had that. Monty here has won 10 games in a row with the Blues. I'm doing nothing but cheering for the Blues nowadays outside of that 2019 massacre. No. Monty, 10 games in a row. You got to give him credit. The guy just hopped into a new team, and now we let him to the playoffs.
I never want Jordan Binnington to win anything ever again. I don't give a fuck. That's fair. I don't care who the coach is. I don't give a fuck. I don't want that guy to win anything ever.
Okay. That's fair.
Never again.
I just thought I'd bring it up. 10 games in a row. That's pretty impressive.
That is very impressive. And the Bruins have never tanked in my life, but like, wow, are they good at it?
Yeah.
It's like they've practiced this. It's unbelievable.
The radio's like, yeah, Morgan Geekies has 2 goals in his last like 2 games or something. I'm like, yes, because who else would score?
we had a pretty like we would have just got pummeled in the first round most likely anyway. But like we had, like a playoff shot was there like 2 weeks ago. And like now we have like the fourth pick.
They have before last night. They have 7 goals in their last 5 games. Like for the NHL, that's rough.
And that's Morgan Geeky and Pasta.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna look that up. I bet you that's a fucking real stat.
Our last thing we have of the night since we've watched college basketball for 2 weeks. We're now experts. So I missed out because I didn't put Michigan State in my Final Four. So all the number one seeds made the Final Four for the last time since Memphis missed all those free throws and lost to Kansas.
That was a disgusting game.
Yes. The first game, we'll just do this very brief, I guess. Florida is playing SEC foe Auburn here. Florida's got the 2.5 favorite spread. I have to go with Florida here. They've been probably outside of Duke, the best team in the tournament. Oh, I wonder who I'm going to pick in the next game. Walter Clayton Jr. has hit shot after shot for that team. Auburn here has had kind of an easier road outside of Michigan State. You know, Michigan, who knew they were going to be there in the Sweet 16? Creighton, you go down the list, they kind of took care of business.
Yeah, Broom, that was a great comeback from him, though, in the game when he like hurt his elbow and then came back out. He was playing with like one arm almost. Very respectable. But that being said, Florida, been my pick since the beginning. We ride.
Yeah, fuck Bruce Pearl. I think Florida's taking this. And then in the second game, you have the almighty defense in the Houston Cougars under Calvin Sampson there. Playing the number one overall seed, the favorite to win the tournament, the number one player in the country who's going to be the number one in the draft. Call him Cooper, call him Flat, call him whatever you want. Duke favored by 4.5 points. Houston, every game they have made each team play to their liking. All the games they play in low scoring, they just play good defense. All their guys are at least 6'7" or taller. It's a pretty crazy team when you go down to it. I thought they beat the brakes off Tennessee last game, where a lot of people thought Tennessee was going to have their way with them. Not a chance.
Yeah, the biggest thing definitely when playing Houston, and it goes like even though they have Flag, you get down like 10 early to Houston. I don't know if you're coming back.
Yeah,
man.
Tough team.
I don't know if you're coming
back.
Like you can't. You got to keep that close. You got to try to get a hot start, stay out in front, try to bear them down, adjust to what they're doing on defense. And obviously having the best player in college basketball helps, but that should be a great game.
Yeah, I'm not even like
if they can shut him down.
Even the other
it'll
like
still be tough.
I can't remember the names of Sats Cooper Flag. I just can't do it. But I feel like they have a lot of gamers, a lot of guys when the game's on the line, they want the ball. That's what the difference in this game is gonna be. Like to your point though, if Houston goes up early, could be tough for Duke. But even at this 4.5 spread, you got to take Duke here. I think it's just been a written Duke versus Florida in a national championship. But I think Houston, definitely out of the two teams who I'm projecting to lose in these two games, have the best chance to win. I think Houston has a better chance to beat Duke
than Auburn does to beat Florida. I completely agree.
Just simply because of defense.
Yeah, and I mean, Florida beat UConn, and that was a hell of a game. And I know UConn was like an 8 seed or some shit like that, but like, The two-time defending champs showed up in that game.
Yeah.
That was an unbelievable basketball
game. That was a great – yeah, and they found their way back to win. Florida, the last game they played, they found a way to win. They were going home. Who were they playing?
Yes.
Texas Tech. They outscored them 18-4 in the last 2.5 minutes to win. So, like, that's what these teams do who advance. They fucking weathered. Every team's going to go through a storm. You, no matter how good these teams are, they've all been tested. How do they respond from being tested? That is the NCAA tournament
absolutely.
In a nutshell. What I had, going here, I have Duke to win it all. I'm just going to throw it out there. I think Duke's going to win the whole thing. But I will still look out. Like, Houston and Duke, Houston is all, I looked at this, juniors through graduate students. Duke is mainly all freshmen. So if that is, if you want to look at that, how 17 and 18-year-olds are playing 23, 24-year-olds,
That's how the Cinderellas happen.
That's how it goes.
That's how the big upsets you
see
happen.
That's how it goes. And they're all one seed, so like every upset, it would be upset if Houston beat Duke, but how big of an upset? If you really dummy it down to that, 23-year-olds against 18-year-olds.
Crazy? In both Final Fours, men's and women's, the like highest seed is UConn women's basketball.
What is it?
Like it's all one seeds here.
Yeah.
The women's one is all one seeds except two seed UConn women's basketball.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I saw Bukers put up UConn. 40 points. I don't know. I'm not going to get to the girls' bracket. But
no, of course not. No. Florida, by a billion over Duke. Book it. Not by a billion, but they're going to win.
Florida over Duke?
Be close. Okay. Yeah, I'm Florida. I've been Florida since the start.
I picked
the team to beat UConn. I haven't
when
done
I didn't know anything 2 weeks ago, I put Florida and Duke in my championship game. It looks like it's going to happen that way. Who knows? I'm telling you, though, don't sleep on Houston. Do not sleep on Houston. What movies, TV shows, anything? The season finale of Severance was absolute flames. I'm not going to spoil it because that show is just too good to spoil. If you haven't hopped in yet, water's warm. Get in there.
Get in there.
Ben Stiller puts on a hell of a show, especially that season 2 finale. My God. The things that happened in that. Oh. And then I did start, my buddy Steele over here told me to start watching Yellow Jackets. Pretty demented shit.
Yeah, pretty wild show.
cannibalism's in it. I mean, that's one thing.
Often.
I didn't even know that was happening until all right, that's what's happening here. Okay. Before we close.
School soccer.
Yeah. That's because I think the true story in that is a Chilean men's rugby team, it actually happened, where they had to cannibalism. I'm I guess the appeal of a TV show would be better if you made it a girls soccer team or something like that. I want to give a big shout out to our sponsor here, offices of Patrick J. Foley, 265 Willard Street, Quincy, Massachusetts. If you're looking for legal, proper representation on first time home buying or just closing down any real estate in general, Patrick J. Foley is your guy. I want to give a big shout out to Hedgebetter. Justin, thank you for letting us do what we do. Anything from you, Steele?
That's it. Go Florida.
Go Duke. Go Duke. Episode 185 in the books. We'll see you next time.